Father, we do thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you so much for this gift of your word, Lord, the final revelation of you. Lord, you've revealed yourself, your ways, your expectations through your word. Lord, your word has existed throughout the ages. Your word created everything. By your word, you spoke everything into being. The prophets, Lord, your word was in the mouth of the prophets. Lord, Jesus came, the word became flesh. And Lord, now we have your final form, the written word of God. And Lord, you've said heaven and earth may pass away, but your word will stand forever. We thank you that we have the final form, that it is complete, that you'll never add to it, you'll never take away from it, that anybody that does will have steep, horrible penalties, Lord. And we thank you for it, and we ask that you would speak to us through it. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being here in the United States where we can get copies of it, and we don't have to hide it, and we can read it, and we can use it. Lord, we ask that right now you'd speak to us through it. Let us hear your message and get me out of the way. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why go to church regularly? That's what we want to look at. Right here at the beginning of a new year. The beginning of a new year. Let's look at that together. Why go to church? And then we're adding the word regularly. We know everybody here has made a wise choice today. Everybody here has chosen to Sunday morning to get up and to come and to worship the Lord, to be in church, to be with God's people. Everybody's chosen that's here today. But do you choose it regularly? Ask yourself that question. Ask yourself that question. Maybe I'm here today, but do I choose this regularly? Why go to church regularly? Well, think about it just a minute. Think about your own habits. Do you get up Sunday morning? Do you get up on a Sunday morning? And do you have to decide whether or not to go to church? Think about that. Think about your typical Sunday morning and just think, when I get up on a Sunday, is that a choice I have to make? Do I actually spend some time thinking, do I want to go to church today? Do I feel like it, or should I go to church? Is it a choice for you? Think about that. Do you get up on a Sunday morning and do you have to decide whether or not to go to church? Is it a decision that you have to make every Sunday? Maybe you feel that way in your life. Every Sunday you got to make that decision. Am I going today or not? Am I going today or not? Is that a choice that you have to make every Sunday? Well, think about this. Do you get up each morning or go to bed each night and have to decide whether or not to brush your teeth? I hope not. You might have some dental problems if you have to make that decision. Now, some of us are a little bit older and our teeth might not be what they used to be. But you think about that getting up in the morning or going to bed at night. Do you decide, am I going to brush my teeth tonight? You wake up in the morning, am I going to brush my teeth this morning? You don't even have to decide it. It's probably become a habit for you. You probably just, you don't have to spend the time and the mental energy and you don't have to go through a lot at night or in the morning deciding whether you're going to brush your teeth or not. It's probably just a habit. You probably just do it. And it's probably so second nature to you now, it just happens. You might find yourself brushing your teeth and kind of come to, I'm brushing my teeth. You know, it's just second nature. Jesus went to church. You know, back then, you know, they had synagogue in the temple. And look at Luke chapter 4. If you can turn quick enough, this isn't our main passage of Scripture, but Jesus did this. He went to what we would call church, what that was for them back then. It says here in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it says, he went to Nazareth where It says, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. And he stood up to, but it goes on from there. But don't too quickly brush over that as was his custom. You see, he didn't have to decide. Jesus didn't have to get up on the Sabbath and think about it and spend some mental energy saying, am I going to go to synagogue? Am I going to go? It just says he went. You just found him there as was his custom. It was just his habit. It was just regular. He didn't even have to decide. It was maybe second nature, kind of like brushing his teeth. He had always been. He just went. And so we see Jesus' model, and we see his example, and we see, when we look back at ourselves, we see how we need to be. We say, whoa, you know, am I like that? Am I like Jesus in this area? Why go to church regularly? Well, Jesus did. That's an incredible reason right there. And he's our example. But let's not only look at God's example, Jesus. Jesus was God in the flesh. Let's look at God's model. Let's look at God's model for church. Okay, God shows us how to do church. He established the church. The church is Jesus' church. He established it. He's the head of the church, and this is his church. God established three things we learn in Scripture. God established government. He established the church, and he established the family. And so let's go way back and look at when God established the church. What's it supposed to look like? What's it supposed to be like? Because then you can look at what we're doing today and how we're acting today, and you can say, well, hold on, how close are we to what God established? Do we do things just like he wants us to? Or have we gone in a different direction in some ways or some aspects? And so you can always go back and look at God's model. We did that this morning. We had a deacon's meeting this morning. We went back and everything we've ever known about being a deacon, anybody, we went straight back to to what God says about it. We looked at all the passages that God talks about. What is a deacon? What does it do? Because that's where it is. That's where the truth is. That's what we always have to go back to. And so let's do that with church. Why go to church regularly? Well, let's not only look at God's example of Jesus, but let's look at God's model for church. Look at Acts chapter 2, and here's when the church was first starting and had its beginnings. And look at Acts chapter 2, and look at verses 42. Let's look at 42 through 47. If you're new at this, there should be a Bible next to you in the chair that you can use. And this is in the New Testament, so that's about the last third of the Bible. Just open it up. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Keep going right after that. Acts, right after John. Look at Acts chapter 2. Okay, the church is brand new. It's beginning. And God gives us such an incredible picture here of what the church is and what it is to be. And through this picture, we can see why we should go to church regularly. Okay, let's look at God's model, 42 through 47. Okay, here's what the church did. So all these people have recently believed and been baptized, and Peter preached, and all these 3,000 people believed and were baptized. And so now that there's a good church right there, right? The church is going. And then here's what it looks like. Verse 42, the church, here's what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So, why go to church regularly? Well, look at God's model right here. First of all, why go to church regularly? So we, not me, this is how we're going to start. We're going to kind of take a sentence and kind of go through and break down this sentence. But here's how it starts off. Why should we go to church regularly? So we, not me, so we, not me. That's what we see in verse 42. It's not about you. The church is not about you. The church is we. The church is we. You are a part of the body, but this is the body of Christ. This is all about we. And he, it's all about he, it's all about him, but it's about we are his body. He's the head. If you imagine the head on a body, the head controls everything. That's Jesus Christ. And we make up the body. We are his body together. Together. And so we, not me. That's what we see in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the... Now, the pronouns are a little different here. But they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. So they devoted themselves to four things right here that it mentions. But notice, not each one... It doesn't say each one of them devoted himself to the... No, it says they. So for us today, this is not... Joan devoted herself to the, and Mary Frank devoted herself to the, we do that in our own lives, in our individual lives, in our individual relationships with the Lord, but then the church together, this is all his body together, and so it's we devoted ourselves to these things. So today, in the church right now, we need to devote ourselves to a certain number of things, not me. And so we need to get that concept down. We need to know that it's we and it's not me. It's about all of us. We're a body. We're a flock. We're together. They were together, it says. And we're going to read that a little bit further in here. It says they were all together. But it says they. They devoted themselves. They were a group. They were together. And you know, it's just like in Proverbs, God tells us that there are a few creatures that are really notable to take note of, and he mentions locusts, and God says locusts advance together in ranks, and you know, ants are similar. Ants are really good at working together. You don't really see one individual ant when you find an ant hill, and that ant built that whole hill, and he found everything at the picnic that you had, and he carried it all over himself. No, they're very communal, aren't they? Ants, they can do a lot of great work, but they all work. It's we. It's them together. They all work together and do that. These locusts, you know, you take a locust by it, it can't do anything. It's not going to hurt your crops or ruin anything. But you know, you get a, I guess maybe you'd call it a swarm, whatever it is when there's a lot of them. But you get all these locusts together. They're advanced together in ranks. And you got all these locusts, and they go over a field, and they can cause economic devastation to a whole country when they're together. When they're together, that's what the church is. It's we, not me. And so they devoted themselves. So we need to devote ourselves to what? We can devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. First of all, that was the first thing they devoted themselves to. We can devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. It says that here, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And that was the Word of God at that time. That's the teaching that God was bringing that would make it into His Word. And now we have the apostles' teaching right here. We have all the apostles' teaching right here. And we have all of God's teaching right here. We have all of His Word right here. And so today we have the Bible. Today we have the Bible. We have the final form of the apostles' teaching. So what do we need to do? They devoted themselves to it. We need to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the Bible, to God's Word. And so we as a church, we're devoted to God's Word. That's why at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, we call it Bible study. We have Bible study groups because we are devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to God's Word. And so we need to do that together. And so ask yourself that question, am I a part of a Bible study group? Have I found my smaller group? Jesus had a group of 12 that he always got real close to, did so much with, that smaller group. Do you have your group of 12? That's what happens at 9 a.m. every Sunday morning here at this church. Roughly, you know, groups of 12, these smaller groups meet. Why? Because of God's Word, to devote ourselves to God's Word. And to all these other things, really, but that's one thing. we devote ourselves to God's word. Right now, what are we doing? We're studying God's word. We're hearing God's word preached right now. Sunday night, we can come and we have a kind of a time of discipleship, and we can devote ourselves to God's word some more. Wednesday night, we can devote ourselves to God's word some more in prayer, which we'll get to in just a moment. So, we, not me, can devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to God's word. Next, we can devote ourselves to the fellowship. We can devote ourselves to the fellowship. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the Bible, and to the fellowship. That's each other. That's the group. They devoted themselves to each other, to the group, to the we. They were devoted to the we, to each other. In the church here today, we do that. Are we devoted to each other? Are you devoted to the fellowship? Well, if you're devoted to the fellowship, then you've got to be with the fellowship. You can't be devoted to the fellowship and be at home on your own alone, Sunday after Sunday, and then maybe every few Sundays you pop in and you're together with the whole fellowship. Are you really devoted to the fellowship, to being together? If you come every once in a while, what about Wednesday? You know, it says here, we'll look at it in just a minute, but it says they met together daily in the temple courts. I haven't figured that one out yet for today. I don't know how we can do that. I've talked to people about it. I've talked to Chris. I've talked to some of you other guys out there. How could we do something like that? You know, but they met together daily in the temple courts. You know, but we do it a few times. We come together Sunday morning. Right now, you've chosen to be here. You've devoted yourself to the fellowship and to the apostles' teaching, to the Word of God this morning, and to prayer. You've devoted yourself to it today. What will happen Wednesday night, though? That's another opportunity. We have a few times that we do it a week. We do it now. Wednesday night, we'll devote ourselves to the fellowship again. Matter of fact, we've devoted a whole meal to it. And Annette Bruner and Chris and Bill and Lib, and I better stop mentioning names, I'm going to leave somebody out. Zayden, and you know, all this group comes together and they put together a wonderful meal so that we can completely, that hour is devoted to fellowship, to just be together, to just eat together here in the church and be together and devote yourself to the fellowship, to each other. And we do that Wednesday night. And we probably need to, I'm speaking to myself, but, you know, get around to different tables and things. Sometimes we might always sit at the same table and everything, but that's what we're doing. We're devoted to the fellowship on Wednesday nights. And then we come in here, we have a time of prayer and looking at God's word. And so there's another opportunity. And then Sunday night, you can devote yourself to the fellowship. You can come back again Sunday night. And you can have a time of discipleship. You're devoted to the fellowship. When you show up at 3:45 in my office, you get together with some other believers, and you head out and you share the word with other people. And then at 9 a.m. every Sunday morning, how can you be devoted to the fellowship? You're devoted to that group. You're devoted to each other. Well, that's what it's about. So, why go to church regularly? So we, not me, can devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, can devote ourselves to the fellowship, next, can devote ourselves to the breaking of bread. And one more thing about just devoting yourself to the fellowship, just being here as much as possible. You know, of course, the example they had, they met together daily in the temple courts. But you have an opportunity a few times a week that we can all get together. You have a few times that we can do that together. And you know what? We just read it this morning. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, God commands us not to forsake that, not to give that up. Do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, and all the more as you see the day approaching. God gives us a command there, not to forsake that, not to give that up. But what should we do? The opposite. Get together as much as possible. Be together with the believers as much as possible. And so we can devote ourselves to the fellowship, and we can devote ourselves to the breaking of bread. What's that? That's the Lord's Supper. That's the Lord's Supper. And we do it here every other month. We'll have the Lord's Supper. Well, if we are going to be devoted to the Lord's Supper, to the breaking of bread, than, oh man, we need to be in tune to when it's going to be, don't we? We need to be reading that friendly fellowship. And we need to be finding out, whoa, when's the Lord's Supper? I don't want to miss that. We just do it every other month. And we could do it more if we wanted to. Jesus never told us how often to do it. He just said to do it. But we do it every other month. Oh man, if we're devoted to the Lord's Supper, boy, I better be checking that friendly fellowship. You know, when's the next time? When's the next time we're having it? And if I see it, we had it Christmas Eve last. Oh boy, I better be there and get the Lord's Supper. Devoted. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Oh, we need to do that. And we come together. When we do that together. And then together, we can devote ourselves to prayer. It says, that's the fourth thing. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We can devote ourselves to prayer. Why do we need to attend church regularly? To be devoted to prayer, to devote ourselves to prayer. We do it all the time. All these different times that we meet together, there's prayer. This morning, there's been prayer. There's been a few prayers. Somebody's going to pray at the end, and just a little bit, we pray. Wednesday night is kind of the main time for church prayer. We need to devote ourselves to prayer. So if you want to be devoted to prayer as a church member here at the church, you'll want to be here Wednesday. You want to be here Wednesday night and get together for prayer so we can pray. And we have a list that comes out of all the needs of the church. And we pray together as a body of believers. Well, that happens Wednesday. That's probably our biggest time that we can get together for prayers Wednesday night. But then it happens all these other times in our Bible study groups. And the Joy class, they'll have a list that goes around. They just sign different prayer requests down. And then somebody goes and makes a copy of it all. And they can all be praying for each other throughout the week. Each of our Bible study groups has a prayer time that we pray, that we need to pray. And Sunday night, all the time, when we get together, we pray. Outreach, if you come and you're going to head out with us, we're not leaving this church without praying. No way. It's in the Spirit's power that we can do anything for the Lord. We can't meet here and forget to pray and head out. Let's go make some disciples, help some people come to know the Lord. We pray before we leave this church. We're devoted to prayer. You can be devoted to prayer. Why come to church? So we, not me, can devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then also, so that we can be together sharing with each other. That's what we see in 44 and 45. All the believers were together. There it is. They were together. Not me. We, all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone as he had need. Well, you know, when we're together, you know, we'll hear about each other's needs. When you're in your Bible study group and you guys are spending that time together and people are sharing prayer requests somebody shares something from their heart, a lot of times you might identify a need. And, you know, you may say you're right there with that fellow believer and you're sitting there thinking, well, you know, I got two of those, and here's my brother. He just has one, or he doesn't have any, and you know, and we share with each other. We come together, we meet together, and then we can share with each other. And there's all kinds of ways to do that, but we as believers can share. When we see each of us has a need, we could share something. Somebody, I saw Oliver this morning, and he said, you have to see an orthopedic doctor. And I said, yeah. What was he doing? He was going to share with me. He started saying, we liked who Susan saw. What was he doing? He's sharing. We share among each other. Maybe you have a pool at your house. I'm just thinking out loud. And then, you know, maybe you know our youth committee is getting together and they're trying to figure out some things to do. And you know what? Maybe you go to Joan or Lance and you say, hey, you know what? If the youth ever want to use our pool, you know, they can do that. Or if y'all ever want to have this, you know, you get the picture. Why do we need to come to church regularly? To devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to devote ourselves to the fellowship, devote ourselves to the breaking of bread, devote ourselves to prayer, so that we can be together, sharing with each other, and so that we can meet together often. That's what we see in verse 46. Come to church regularly so that we can meet together as often as possible. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And if you get any ideas on how we can do something like that together, come and share it with me. And let's talk about that. But here's God's model for the church. And through this model, we see some reasons that we need to go to church regularly, to be in church regularly. We have the example of Jesus. It was his custom. He didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to make that decision. It's just second nature. That's how it needs to be with each of us. For probably a lot more reasons than this, but here's some of the reasons. Just God's model right here that we see. And I'll end with this story. One time there was a man, and he just hadn't been going to church much at all. Hadn't been in the last month. And so the preacher went by to see him, and it was a cold winter's day. The snow was on the ground, and the preacher knocked on the door, and the man answered the door, and the man was just in a deep depression, and he was just somber. He didn't want to say anything, and the preacher just walked in and grinned at him, and the preacher really didn't say anything either, and they sat down together, and they were just staring at the fire together in the fireplace, and the preacher just stood up, and he walked over to that hot fire, and he got that utensil for the fireplace, and he grabbed one of those logs out of the fireplace that was burning, and he just brought it over to the center of the concrete floor, and he just dropped it. And together they sat down, and they just watched that log burn out and become cold. That's what we are. That's what we are when we forsake the meeting together of the believers, when we give up meeting together, when we don't come to church regularly. That's what happens to us. Let's pray together. Father, we do love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of coming to church, Lord. Oh, Lord, put it in every one of our hearts. Lord, we don't want to come for the wrong reason either. We don't want to come because we feel guilty. We don't want to come because we feel like we have to. We don't want to come because we're trying to impress other people around us. We don't want to come because somebody in our Bible study class calls us every few weeks saying, "Where are you? Where are you? What is going on?" We don't want to come for any of these reasons, Lord. Jesus, we want to come because we love you. Because you've told us that this is what it's all about. That this is your church. That it's we, not me. That we're a body. That we're a flock. Not to forsake the meeting together. Because you've told us all these things and you've said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Help us, Lord. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, maybe you're making a new commitment in this new year. It's 2015. Maybe you felt like you're one that has been having to decide whether to come to church or not on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday or whenever. And maybe you're seeing something different today. Maybe you just want to make a commitment right now and just say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Have mercy on me. I'm just yours. I'm just going to, whenever the doors are open, I'll be there, Lord. To the degree that your spirit, that you enable me, that you lead me, I'll be there, Lord." Maybe you're making that commitment today. You can come and pray about that at the altar if you want. These steps, just look at these as an altar. And maybe you want to just come and talk to the Lord about that commitment. Talk to the Lord about your church attendance, how often you come, and what you come to. You can pray about that at the altar, and you can make a commitment to him. Or you can do that from your seat. You can pray about these things and make a commitment. Maybe you realize this morning that you're not truly a part of the body yet. You haven't come into his fellowship. That you have doubts that you truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have doubts, nagging doubts, that when you die one day, maybe you won't be in heaven. Maybe Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." When he said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Maybe you have some doubts and you just want to firm everything up today. You just want to say, "I'm tired of this. I'm tired of thinking this way, doubting things. Lord, I give you all that I am. I'm yours, Jesus. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe that you're who you claim to be, God in the flesh, the Son of God. And I believe you came for me. I believe you paid for all my sins on that cross. And I believe you were raised from the dead. And I come today, Jesus, saying, save me. Have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Come into my life. I give you all that I am. I'm yours, Jesus. I just want to follow you. Maybe that's you today. You're committing your life to him. And then the church attendance will follow that. But you do that. That's the main thing. And whatever your decision is today, if you're wanting to give your life to Jesus, then walk down this aisle. Come and meet me here. Chris is going to lead us in a song. If you're committing to a church attendance, making a decision before the Lord, you can come and do that. If you're joining this church, maybe you've decided this is the place I need to be. I need to be connected to a fellowship where I can serve the Lord. I'm not a member here yet. I just come all the time. I need to be a member. Then you can come as Chris leads us. But you do whatever he's telling you when Chris leads.